Thank you, Pastor. Good evening, church. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to today's Bible study. It's such a privilege to be able to share. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to be able to grow daily and to be able to share also to the people today. Father Lord, we come into your presence this evening. Your word says that the teaching of your word gives light, so even that the simple can understand. Lord, let light flood our hearts even today as we listen to your word in the name of Jesus. Let the entrance of your word into our hearts, Lord, bring light and illumination to all of our lives that we may be able to see in the name of Jesus. Let it bring understanding. Let it bring a transformation, that we can become that image of Christ, that you proposed at the beginning, in the name of Jesus. Father Lord, we pray for everyone who is joining today online, those who will be watching today, those who will be watching even later. Father Lord, let your words bring about life. Let it bring about transformation. Let everyone who encounters these words today, let their lives become illuminated by the light of your word, and let there be a change, a rapid transformation in each and every one of us in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way. Do not let any prejudice in me speak, Lord, but speak directly to your people. Speak to me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good evening, church, and welcome to today's Bible study. We are going to be having a quick sharing of the word of God together, and I believe that each and every one of us will be blessed. The theme for July for us is see and become. See and become. See and become. And right from the beginning of July, I've just been writing and scribbling and just writing so many things down. I shared some with some of my brethren, and it's just trying to just understand what God is saying in this season. Because from last month, when we're talking about eternity, God's times and seasons, we got that understanding that what God is asking us to enter into in this season is to lay hold of understanding. Psalm 119 verse 140 says, I think it's 140, 144 says, give me understanding that I may live. Give me understanding that I may lay hold on eternal life. And this is what we have come for today. Lord, give us understanding that indeed we may live in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I was going to share something, and this afternoon I was at work and I was just meditating, and it struck me, some things struck me, and I'm just going to share that with you. And the first thing that struck me is the fact that I went on to look at what does it mean? How does the eye see? What does it mean when the eye sees? And I remembered from biology, and I just went back. The Holy Spirit just took me back in that direction when I was praying for grace to be able to see. And I realized that the physical eyes is only able to see when light enters through the cornea, and finally, through all the journeys through the pupils, the lens, the vitreous humor, and it hits the retina at the back of the eyes. The eye can only see when light enters and it hits the retina. Special cells called photoreceptors turn the lights into electric signals, and it hits the brain. And that is how the eye sees. And that changed my whole perspective as to seeing and becoming, because that means that for me to be able to see, there must be light. It is the light that is shining on an image that defines that image and gives an interpretation of what we see. So sight comes when light comes. The ability to be able to see first and then become starts with the light coming in, the light flooding in. The physical eyes only sees light, and everything, the light gives direction, and it gives shape to everything. So that's why the same thing that you see in bright light, in the night when it's dark and you're far away from it, the eye does not really see that clear image. Why? Because the light gives direction, gives shape. It gives form to what you see. I want you to think about that a bit deeply. My ability to see is dependent on the light that is shining on me. And funny enough, there are different shades of light. Sometimes in the house, there are some lamps that you can dim. And what you can see varies based on the kind of light that you have. When the visibility is reduced, when you are unable to see, what has really happened is there's no light. And when the day comes, when it's no longer night, and the light of the sun comes in, then we see clearly. And I want you to just think about that. And just as the light which we see determines and ultimately helps us to interpret the things that are before us, the light through which we interpret life is what determines our experiences in life. This is why you see different people look at different things and they will see different things. People are interpreting different things, the thing that is in front of them, in different lights. And I bring it to each and every one of us. With what are we interpreting our lives and the events that are around us? Are we interpreting the things that are around us based on the light of God's word? Or are we interpreting it based on the other kinds of light, the dim light? Are we interpreting it from darkness? Are we interpreting it from low visible, low light of, I don't know how to define that. When you dim your lamp down and you're looking at something, are you seeing life from a place of darkness, or are you seeing it from the place of light of the word of God? Are you seeing it from a place of the light that you lit for yourself, or are you seeing it from the light of the word of God that brings about life? The story that came to mind when I was trying to put this together was the story of the people that were blindfolded and they were told to try and touch the elephant. And each and every one of them gave a different interpretation of the elephant based on where they are touching. The problem that they had was the fact that they could not see. There was no light. So they could only interpret based on that little encounter, that zoomed in, restricted encounter that they had with that elephant. And some thought it was a tree trunk. Some thought it was a wall. Some felt the tusk, and they felt it was something else. And that brought some light to me, that sometimes some of the things that I'm seeing that looks like a mountain, it might just be because of the light through which I'm seeing them. Maybe when I come and I see it under the light of the word of God, maybe my perspective will change and I no longer see a mountain. I see a valley that I can walk through, that I can walk upon. I see something that I can encounter. Like when David looked at Goliath, from the light of God's word. All the soldiers were looking at Goliath physically. They could only see Goliath based on the light of the threats that they've been hearing from Goliath every day. Are you looking at life based on the light that you are hearing from BBC and ITV every day? Are you looking at life based on the light of what was spoken to your life so many decades ago? Am I looking at life based on the light of my experiences and not based on the word of God? The shift in thinking. This evening when we were praying, Pastor was talking about us changing our thinking. One of the major things, like mentioned, that shifts our thinking is the light that floods our eyes and how we see. We understand that the things that we see were framed by the things that we cannot see. And it's the light that we are using to see it that determines what we are seeing. I asked myself a question, and it's something that we all do nowadays. I said, when the light is dim and there's low visibility in the night, what do you think is wise for me to do? And what we tend to do most times is when there's no visibility, when things are not well lit, when there's no visibility. So let's look in the light of, let's say there's an issue concerning something, maybe our children, our relationships. There's an issue concerning what's going on in the environment, our finances. Do we try to get surgery to improve the eyes, or maybe to go on to the market and buy bigger eyes to be able to see, so that we can see in that darkness? Or do we just turn on the light? What we tend to do most times is we run helter-skelter trying to get a different kind of lens, a different kind of eyes. Maybe if I get better glasses, maybe if I get a telescope, maybe if I can use something else to get my eyes better, rather than turning to the light. Wisdom says that if I'm unable to see, I should turn to the light to be able to enable me to be able to see. But a lot of times, what we turn to a lot of self-help gurus, we are still in darkness. We turn to a lot of taking care of myself, me, myself. We turn to a lot of online social media counselors. We turn to every other thing, trying to get bigger glasses, bigger lenses, but we don't turn on the light. And the truth is, so far you stay in darkness and you have not turned on the light of God's word. And the light we're talking about here, we're going to get into it with time, is the light of God's word. It's Jesus Christ himself, who is the light of the world. In the physical realm, when there's no light, things die off. The trees die off. There's darkness, there's gloom. And this is true of life. When you go into places where there's no light, what you find out is there's no life. Everything becomes formless. Everything becomes void. In the absence of life, of light, there's no life. And if we go back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, when God was going to be creating, when he was going to create the earth, the Bible says darkness was upon the earth. The earth was formless. It was empty. Darkness was everywhere. There was no life. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. The first thing that God did was to bring about light. Why? Because the light was what gave us the evidence of every other thing that God was going to make. We were able to know that God made fishes because we had light. If we didn't have the light, we wouldn't be able to see fishes. We'll just see darkness. When God was going to make separate the waters, you wouldn't know that waters have been separated if you're in gross darkness. You wouldn't see. So God did, the first thing that he did was to bring light. He brought the light to be. And the next thing he did was to separate the light from darkness. Very important. Two things. He brought about light and he separated the light from darkness. For some of us, we have encountered Christ. We have come into the light of Christ. And like how I lived my life for a long time, and even in some areas of my life now, where I am praying to God to help me to be able to separate light from darkness. We mix light and darkness together. Therefore, the light that we are seeing through is not the bright light. So we don't see clearly. And this affects the perception by which we see things. It changes the dynamics of how we see things, because the light you are looking to, even though you can see a bit, but it's dim. If you remember back in those days when you're trying to study chemistry with a candlelight, it's more difficult than when you're trying to study the same chemistry under the electric light. Because what happens is your eyes are straining, you are struggling to get what you're doing, there's darkness on some parts of the book, and you're trying to understand at the same time. Understanding is difficult when the light and darkness are mixed together. And that's what we tend to do as Christians, where we take a bit of God's word, We have come to Christ. We take a bit of God's word and we mix the world with it. And then we continue. If you understand what happened when Rehoboam, when Shishak came in and he took the golden shields from the temple, he took the golden shields, and we studied this like 3 years ago or 2 years ago. One thing was quite instructive. Rehoboam replaced the golden shields with some brass shields. Now, brass is a mixture of copper and tin, or maybe copper and zinc, or copper and tin, and it's an alloy. It's not pure. The Bible said the shields that were taken were pure gold, and they were used in the worship of God. So Rehoboam was taking those brass shields to go on and worship God. And it's synonymous to what we do now as Christians, where we are mixing light and darkness, such that even though we have a form of worship like Rehoboam had when he goes into the temple, but that form of worship is not that which God really, really accepts. It's not that which brings glory to God. And it's because we have mixed things together. We have made an alloy of light and darkness. Therefore, our sight is no longer clear. We have mixed things we learned on social media with some of the things we picked up from the Bible. And then we have formed something for ourselves. And then we complain that we cannot see. We complain that the sight is, my eyes are a bit dim. I can't really understand what is going on, Pastor. But most times what tends to happen is the light through which you're seeing. Before anything can be created, before any change can happen, light has to come first, because everything else takes reference from the light. Like I said before, we knew that God created the fishes in the sea because we had light to be able to see it. It was light that gave reference to that image for us to be able to know that it was fish. When the birds in the air were made, it was light that gave us that reference. So everything points to that light. And that was why the first thing that God did was let there be light. And I'm asking and I'm praying for someone who is joining us today, that indeed that the word of God will bring light that will flood your life and that will bring understanding to you, that you can see and interpret whatever you're going through, whatever it is that your experiences are, in a different light. If you look at how the Bible always interprets things, you would hear that Ahab was killed by a man who had a random bow and he shot the arrow. You will read that record, and then you will see the interpretation through the light of the word of God. And he said, for his sins which he committed when he killed Naboth, and for the sins that he committed in drawing the Israelites to go and worship Baal. And it changes your perspective. So that means for somebody who is in the world, Ahab died by mistake. If only he had built a bigger shield. Maybe if his chariot had a shield in the front. Maybe if the helmet he wore was slightly different, maybe he would not have died. But when you interpret it in the light of the word of God, it changes. When you look at Joseph, Joseph was sent out into Egypt. He was sold by his brethren. But the Bible, when he interpreted it in the light of God's word, it said the Lord sent him ahead of them. How do you compare that? And for people, for some of us, we are interpreting our lives in the light of what we can see. We are interpreting our lives in the light of our experiences. Imagine if Joseph did not catch that understanding through the light of God's word, to understand that it was the Lord that sent him ahead of his brethren to be able to preserve them in the time when there was famine. What would have happened is Joseph would have remained in strife, would have remained in bitterness. He would not have been able to fulfill the purpose of God. So the light through which you see determines what you see, and it determines your experiences. It's the light that gives reference to everything that we experience and that we experience in the life of God. And who is this light? And that's why we've come to a communion table today. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you would not have to walk in darkness, because you will have light that that leads to life. Now, I'm trying to differentiate between different kinds of light. There's a light that leads to life. There's a light that leads to eternal life. And Jesus said, I am that light. When God said in the beginning, let there be light, Jesus is saying that I am that light. I am that light. He said, I am the light of the world. And if you follow me, you will not have to walk in darkness. Darkness, yes, signifies blindness. It signifies death, like we heard before. When there's gross darkness, there's no life. Photosynthesis only takes place in the light. So plants can only grow in light. Even the living things can only grow in light. It's in the light of God that we have life. And he said, because when you come to me and you follow me, you will have light that leads to life. Light that leads to life. Here is Jesus talking about a specific kind of light, the light that leads to life. And brethren, I'm calling everyone who is listening to my voice today that there's a light that leads to life. There's a light that needs to flood our lives, and that is that light that gives eternal life. It's not a different kind of light. It's the light of God that emanates from our inside and changes our, transforms us and makes us, turns us around, turns our life around, and brings life to those dead areas. In darkness, the prince of this world has dominion, and he rules the people by blinding their eyes. He puts them into bondage. But hurray, Christ has come. The word of God that came to us at the beginning of this year was in Isaiah 60. It said, arise and shine, for your light has come. Darkness results in death, but the light of Christ brings life. In darkness, like I said before, there's bondage, there's lack, there's lying in torment. You would understand when you look at people that seem to be the role models in this current world, and they seem to be wealthy. And if you look at their lives, you will see aspects of their lives where there's darkness. And you imagine, you say, oh, with all this wealth, with all this progress, with all these things that is going on, there's an addiction somewhere, there's death in health somewhere, there's something happening somewhere that is like a cancer that is growing slowly. And the only thing that changes that is the light of Christ. Is the light of Christ. And remember, like I said, even though you have that light, one of the key areas where the enemy has restricted us as Christians is the fact that it comes around and it adds a little bit of weeds into the seed that is sown, and it allows them to just grow together. It mixes the light with a bit of darkness. And indeed, that light cannot shine as it was meant to shine. And one of the tasks that we have as Christians is first and foremost to enter into that light, to enter into Christ. And then we start to separate light from darkness. Separate light from darkness. I remember when Pastor was teaching one of these, he said, wherever there's an original, be sure that the enemy, who is a tempter, a deceiver, would always bring a counterfeit. He would always bring a counterfeit. This means that the world is always trying to present other forms of what looks like light to us. But every other thing that they bring about is indeed darkness, because it is not the light that leads to life. They bring some sort of light to us, but it's not the light that leads to life. And sometimes also, it's not even the world that is bringing the light to us. It is we ourselves lighting our own lights. And then we are trying to see the word of God from the light that we lit. Some of the lights are like the light of culture. Some of the lights are the lights of our experiences from the past. Some of the lights are the lights from things we learned on social media. We lit those lights, and then we bring it into the house of God. Like Rehoboam brought the brass shields to come and worship God with. And we start to wonder why we cannot see properly. How come is it that we cannot see properly? How come is it that we're not becoming the image of Christ that Christ has proposed for us right from the beginning? He said, let us make man in our own image. How come is it that I'm not becoming like the image of Christ? How come is it that I'm still in strife? How come is it that I'm still struggling? Is the light, brethren, is the light. What light are you looking through? What light is it that you have that is giving reference to every other thing that you're seeing? Beware of that light. Is it the light of Christ? Is it a light that you have mixed with something else? And I want us all to just start to reflect about that. I'm just going to quickly read something in Isaiah 50 from verse 10 to 11. He said, who is among you who reverently fears the Lord? I think I'm reading the Amplified version. Okay, but who is among you who fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of his servant, yet who walks in darkness and deep trouble and has no shining splendor in his heart? Let him rely on, let him trust in, and be confident in the name of the Lord, and let him lean upon and be supported by his God. Verse 11, behold, all you enemies of your own selves. I think I'm reading from Amplified Version. Who attempt to kindle your own fires and work out your own plans of salvation, who surround and gird yourselves with momentary sparks, darts, and firebrands that you set aflame. Walk by the light of your self-made fire and of the sparks that you have kindled for yourself, if you will. But this shall you have from my hand. You shall lie down in grief and in torment. And here, this is a warning from God through Prophet Isaiah to the children of Israel. And here, what was happening was God was saying that, oh, there were some people who were holding on to God, who were believing in God, who were trusting in God, but it looked like as if they were still walking in darkness. It looked like as if they still did not have an understanding. And God was saying there, let him still rely on God and still trust in and be confident in the name of the Lord. And let him lean upon and be supported by his God. Then he talked about another group of people. He talked about another group of people who are into the self-help group. People who, I think I was sharing one of these days when we were praying about this particular verse, when God first set this into my heart last year. And I went about trying to set my own fires. I went about trying to solve my own problems. I went about trying to use my own imagination and my own thinking, my own ability, my own strength to be able to solve situations that I should have just opened up to the light of God's word. And what happened was I turned everything around and everything became chaos. Brethren, which light are you setting for yourself, which is not the light of God? What fire have you been kindling? What ideas have you been generating? What thoughts have been going on in your mind? What plans are you having? That is darkness, that you've been avoiding the light of the word of God in that particular area. When they bring up the word of God, say, no, let's be realistic. Let's put that aside. The Bible said here, it said, the person will lie down in grief and in torment. It is not the light that brings life. It's a light that brings grief and it brings torment. It's a life that takes you back to that position before Isaiah 60. Because if you look at Isaiah 60 from verse 1, it said, arise and shine. That means the person was down in a place of spiritual depression. Lighting your own light, creating your own firebrands, trying to walk in the understanding of your own plans of salvation. What it does is it brings you down to lie in a place of torment. But we give praise to God. We give glory to God that this was in Isaiah 50. In Isaiah 60, Isaiah came up and he said, arise, for your light has come. And that light that has come is Jesus that has come. Arise, for your light has come. Stop lighting your own lights. And I'm saying this to myself, Adedamola, stop lighting your own lights. Stop making your own fires. It brings about blindness. It takes your perception to a place of darkness. Interpret your life according to the word of God. Interpret your life in the light of God's word, not in the light of your experiences, not in the light of what is happening around you in your environment, in the light of God's word, in the light of God's word, in the light of God's word. Do not go back to a place of lying down in torment. The word of God has come. It's not an advice. The word of God is life. The word of God is grace in itself. He enables us to be able to stand. He said, arise, and that spirit entered into us, and it made us be able to stand. Why do we want to light our own light again and step out from the light that has come and go back to lie down in a place of torment? Psalm 107 from verse 10 to 16. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they rebelled against the word of God and they spurned the counsel of the Most High. One of the things that keeps us in darkness is our rebellion against the word of God. Our rebellion against the light that God has brought. So we excuse every other thing. And they are pointing you to the light. We are excusing it. And at the end of the day, in that particular verse, it said, they dwelt in darkness and the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they rebelled against the words of God. And they spurned the counsel of the Most High. Verse 12 says, therefore, he humbled their hearts with labor. They stumbled and there was none to help. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he broke their bands apart. He broke their chains into pieces. Brethren, I want us to, even as we're still teaching, in our hearts, to cry unto God. Because that is what takes us out of our troubles. That's what saves us out of our distress. That's what brings us. Verse 14 said, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he broke their chains into pieces. What takes us out of the place of darkness and death is when we cry out in repentance. If you look at the children of Israel, what tends to happen is God will do something good for them and their hearts will still be hardened. 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 And I asked myself, I said, why is their heart always hardened? And one of the interpretations I got there was maybe there was science. So maybe COVID came in their own time. There was a plague. And then the scientists went into the lab and they, with the help of God, God had mercy and they found a vaccine. And then their hearts become hardened again to God. Oh no, it's not God. It was a bacteria that came and it flew across borders. If we shut the door, we will not be able to transmit it. And if you have the vaccine, it solves your problem. But brethren, what takes us out of darkness is when we cry out to God in repentance. Not when we stay in our rebellion. Like I said in Isaiah 60, indeed the light has come. In chapter 50, Isaiah was telling them about the fact that those who feared God, and it still looked like as if they were in darkness. At that time, maybe the light had not come. But he said, just lean on God. Your light is coming. That situation. He said, let him trust and be confident in the name of the Lord. Let him rely on God. Your light is coming. Is there somebody saying, I've held on to the word of God. I've not deviated. Now, listen to me. there were 10 verses between 50 and 60. It looked like as if those people were going to perish in just trusting on God, and they will still be in darkness. Some of their friends went on in verse 11 of that verse 50, and they went to make firebrands for themselves. It looked like as if they were shining. It looked like as if things were working for them. But brethren, the light that they made brought them back into torment. But in verse 60, we see in that first verse, it says, arise from spiritual depression and from prostration in which circumstances have kept you, and rise to a new life. Isaiah 60. I'm reading the Amplified. It said, shine, be radiant with the glory of God. One of the key things that happens is when the light came and God created, one of the things he said was, let us create man in our own image. In one verse, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then there was another part where he said, you are the light of the world. Which means when you stand in the light of God, what happens is you become a light. And that's what happens to the moon. The moon has no light of its own, but it stands and it picks up the light from the sun. And when there's darkness in the night, the moon shines. Christ is that light, and is what gives interpretation for everything that happens around us. If you are interpreting your circumstances in the light of your experiences, you are making a big mistake. Go into the Word of God, dig into it, and lay hold of that light. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. This is what God is seeing about you. You're a chosen people. God predestined you. He knew you before the foundations of the world, as I said in Ephesians chapter 1. He knew your name before you were made. He knew the location where you would be. He knew your spouse. He knew your children. He made a room available for you before you were made. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. This is what God is saying about you. If you look at when Gideon, God was calling him a man of valor. The man was saying himself, I'm from the smallest tribe in Israel. But God said, go in the strength of this. And you're like, in the strength of what? God is saying you're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We that we have come into Christ, this is who we are. Let us interpret our lives based on this. We have been called out of darkness into the light of God. We have been called out of darkness into life, eternal life, the light that gives life. Christ Jesus, the light that gives life. It's in that light that we receive forgiveness. Colossians 1, 13 to 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of his son, which he loves, in whom we have redemption, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins. It's in the light that there's forgiveness of sins. Brethren, if we stay in the darkness and we are asking God for forgiveness, what happens is we don't encounter forgiveness. It's in the light, it's in Christ that we have forgiveness. It's when we enter into Christ fully, not one leg in, one leg out. When we enter into Christ, that we enter into forgiveness, that we enter into redemption and salvation. If you look at what happened to when Paul was sharing the story of what happened to him on his way to Damascus. Yeah. In Acts 26 from verse 13 to 18, he said, he was telling King Agrippa, he said, about noon, King Agrippa, as I was about on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. Next verse, please. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the guards. Now, I want you to put it at the back of your mind. The first thing he saw when he was going on that road was the light from heaven, which was brighter than the sun. So it wasn't the sun, he saw a light. Verse 15, please. Then I asked, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Let's just keep continuing. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will pause here briefly. This is not where I'm going to, but I'll just pause here. One of the key things that God said is that go and be witnesses of me in Judea, in Samaria, and in the so many to the ends of the world. And a witness is one who gives an account of what he has seen. And one of the big problems that we are having now is those who are meant to be the witnesses of Christ are not seeing clearly. So what they are portraying about Christ, they are diluting it down, and the people that are seeing or that are receiving it are not receiving that fullness of the image of Christ. And that's why we are meant to be like the Berean Christians. After you listen to a word, you go back to the word of God and you seek and you search so that you can see the light of that word. I'll just quickly continue. It's towards the, which I will reveal to you. Yeah, next verse. And I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Next one, please. Very important. It said to open their eyes, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive. So they open their eyes to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. Brethren, it's when we come into light that we receive that forgiveness of sins and we can lay hold of that inheritance. And like we said before, we said, what is it that you are mixing with that light? What is it that you are mixing together that is making us not to be able to see properly and not to be able to lay hold on the fullness of that thing that God has done, that forgiveness, that salvation that was done on the cross of Calvary, that prevents us, that blocks us from stepping into God and being fully sanctified by faith in Him? And I'm just saying, have you been groping in darkness, seeking for understanding, crying out about the situation of life and things around you? I will just summarize and put it to you that the light is the problem. The word of God is not the problem, but the light with which you are seeing through is the problem. Are you seeing through the word of God? Have you imbibed that light so much that you have become that image of God? You yourself have become light. And the Spirit of God is giving you the interpretation of life. And you are not seeing life as a day-to-day event. You are not just waking up and going back to sleep. Have you gone around for many self-help, motivational classes, acquired degrees, thinking that that was what would change, gone from counseling to counseling, from online gurus to online? We have so many of them now. And it looks like as if the more you try, the bigger the darkness. Like I said before, getting a bigger lens in darkness does not give you light, and it doesn't bring understanding. What you need to do is step into the light of Christ and turn on that light. Romans 13, 14 says, put on Christ. Put on Christ. One of the things that I was thinking about when, just going to the summary now, is when you go to the courts, and maybe there was a judgment that was given in the courts, and maybe the man was found guilty, and then suddenly new information comes up. What tends to happen is, let's say a new information comes up that tries to exonerate the man. The courts would make a new decision in the light of the new evidence. And now I bring a new evidence to you. I bring this new one to you, that this light is not like the light that you lit for yourself. This is the life-giving light. This is the Lord Jesus. and is asking us to step into him so that we can see, so we can have understanding, so that indeed we can become that image of him that he predestined us to be in Genesis 1. So that we can, because the light with which you see, what you see determines your peace. If you look at Elisha and the servant was going through unrest. He was worried when the armies came to the house. But Elisha said, he prayed to God, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. When he saw, he had peace in his heart. Is there unrest in your heart? I tell you, it's your sight. It is what you're seeing. It's the fact that Elisha being at peace was because he was seeing through the light of the word of God. He could see what God was doing. He could see the armies of heaven surrounding him, but his servants could not. So they were looking at the same situation, but they were seeing different things. Is there unrest in your heart? Can you suck the light? Can you come into the light of Christ? Once you come into the light of Christ, the seeing and the becoming becomes easy. Let us stop trying to see in the light. Let us stop trying to wear bigger lenses let us stop trying to see in the darkness. Let us stop trying to put on bigger lenses in the darkness. Turn on the light. Bring Christ into the situation. Don't hide anything away from him. Open yourself up to the light of God's word. That's what transforms. That's what brings life. Romans 13 from 11 to 14. I'll just read this quickly so I don't bug this. I said, do this knowing that the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken. So I'll read the NKJV that they put on. And do this, knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Can you continue, please? The night is fast spent. We have groped around in darkness enough. The day is at hand. God has said, arise, for your light has come. Therefore, cast off all the works of darkness. One of the things that makes us not want to come into the light is the works of darkness seems very convenient. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us expose our lives to the word of God. Let us interpret our lives in the light of God, in the light of the word of God. Next verse, please. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry, and not in drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Verse 14. But let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Let us put on Jesus. Let us put on the light. Let us put on the light of the word of God. Let it shine through us. Let it bring understanding. Let it bring transformation in this season. Turn on the lights. Put on Jesus Christ. Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, because the teaching, the unfolding of your word brings life. Thank you, Lord, for your light that has come into the life of the people that are listening today. Lord, we thank you because you are opening our eyes to see what you're saying concerning us. You are opening our eyes to see what you're thinking concerning us. And you are opening our eyes to see what you're saying concerning us. Lord, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 And Father, we just thank you that our understanding is further opened through the entrance of your word. For it is the entrance of your word that gives light and brings understanding unto us. And Lord, we thank you that you will even further give us understanding of your body and your blood. Your body that was broken, battered, bruised, and through your body, blood was shed. And through the shedding of the blood, we were healed. Your body was broken, battered. You took upon yourself every sin, every iniquity laid on you by every stripe that was laid on your body, so that as your body was broken and battered, you took on our iniquity, as the blood was shed, all our iniquities and sins were forgiven. For without the shedding of the blood, you said there is no remission of sins. Lord, we come as you have instructed tonight. We thank you for the word you've spoken to us, Lord, through your Son. We receive this word. We say, be it unto us according to your word. And as we go to the communion table, Lord, let there be further light.
Amen. Amen.
Open our understanding through the light of your word.
Amen.
Father, we just thank you. We just thank you. We thank you. These people, as we've heard the word tonight, let's just start praying, and not just praying. Let's make up our minds that the things that have been opened to us tonight, we will do. Because when we walk in the light, what it just means is, as we have been taught tonight, we are walking in the light, we are walking in the light of the word of God. The word gives the light. So it's like instruction comes. You just see the instruction. You follow the word, you're walking in the light. So tonight, let's all go to the communion table. If you want to get the bread, flat bread, biscuits, just anything, unleavened bread that represents the body of Jesus. And if we also get like fruit juice, strawberry, cranberry, Ribena, something that just will represent the body, I mean the blood of Jesus to us tonight. As we all go and we're going to the communion table and we're partaking together of the communion. And you know, as a brother, Damola, as you were ministering, you know, this scripture just came back again. When Jesus appeared to the disciples after he had, you know, been crucified, and then he appeared to them, the Bible said that their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened, which after he took bread, blessed and broke the bread and gave it to them. We see that in Luke chapter 24, verse 30 and verse 31. We see that there. So I want us all to picture, we are all sitting, we are partaking with the Lord Jesus at the table. The Bible said in verse 30 of Luke chapter 24, if Shindara, the media people can display that to us, and 31, he said, actually said that he sat at the table with them. So I don't know. Have you found it? Thank you very much. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table. So we're all sitting at the table, the communion table tonight. The Bible said he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave to them. And consequently, verse 31 says, their eyes were opened and they knew him. Light came. Because from what you taught tonight, we only see through the light. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. So tonight, as we go to the communion table, we are praying, we are receiving the entrance of light, and we are receiving instruction, we are receiving healing, we are receiving deliverance, we are receiving everything that Jesus' death and resurrection represented. Forgiveness of all our sins and healing from every, forgiveness of every sin, iniquity, and healing of every disease. And eternal life that is in the word. So right now, people, let's take the bread, and I will read to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we will just follow that sequence that order. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We begin to read from, I believe, verse 25. First, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse, let me just get it exactly. Yeah. Okay, let's read from verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11 from verse 23. So I hope we all have the bread. I have here, and I have the emblems that represents the body and the blood of Jesus. So I read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 23. It says, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread." All right, everybody, let's just take the bread in our hands. Father, we ask that you will infuse this bread or biscuits or whatever your people are holding with your power. Let it become not just a representation, but an experience of that which you did on the cross, of that which this is symbolic of. The crucifixion, the taking upon every iniquity, every sin we will ever commit. We pray as we eat this bread, we ask for your blessing upon this bread. The Bible says that he took the bread, and verse 24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Father, we give thanks. Please, let's give thanks that all our sins are forgiven. All our iniquities are paid for. By his stripes, we were healed. So, Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you this day for everything you have done, Lord Jesus. Through your Son, Lord Jesus, redemption, healing, deliverance, eternal life, giving us light, giving us new instructions, fresh instructions, inspiration. We just thank you. And we thank you as we eat this bread. May every experience through the bruising of your body, what it represents, may it be our experience tonight in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen. Let's break the bread. Unless he said, "Take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance." As we eat this bread, Lord, thank you for everything you have done. And the entrance of your word that brings light, healing, deliverance to us in Jesus' name. Verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup, and after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Listen, people. It says this cup is the new covenant. A covenant is between two parties, usually between the stronger and the weaker, the greater and the lesser. What it means is when the covenant is cut, made between two, the power of the greater now becomes the power of the lesser. Whatever the greater has now automatically goes on to the lesser. So by the covenant in the blood of Jesus, the power of God, the life that is in the blood of Jesus, the life, eternal life that sets us free, abundant life, be our portion tonight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Sin, iniquities, washed, purged, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Forgiveness and healing of every sin, of every iniquity and every disease in the name of Jesus. As we drink the blood of Jesus tonight, may everything Jesus died for, may everything the blood of Jesus represents be our portion. And by covenant, covenant of peace, healing, deliverance, redemption, be ours in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It says, drink as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you as we drink now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your peace over our home, over our lives, over our families. We thank you as we've heard your word tonight. Your word never returns to you void. Your word accomplishes what you please in our lives and prosper in our lives, in every situation and circumstance that we might be in. For everyone watching, for everyone participating, for everyone even watching this recorded broadcast, Father, we thank you that, Lord, we will know you more and more as you open our understanding, as you give us more light, more illumination. And the more we know you, the more we know eternal life, the more life we have, the more peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, temperance, all every fruit of your spirit be our portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We decree peace into every home, into every heart, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for your son as he has ministered. May he be the first partaker. May every word that has flowed through him to us, that has blessed us tonight, Lord, may he be the first person to be watered.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we just thank you. We are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. Lord, we bring forth our fruit in the season.
Amen.
Our eyes are opened and we know what we ought to do.
Amen.
We are no longer in darkness because Amen. We see your light.
Amen.
And as your light came in Genesis chapter 1, order begins in every life.
Amen.
Every disorderliness, you are not the author of confusion. Every confusion disappears from the lives of people, from our lives, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And we just thank you. And we pray your blessing upon everyone. Lord, keep us. Lord, lead us. Lord, direct us. Protect Amen. Us and shield us.
Amen.
May we lack no good thing.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Apostle Cruz. God bless you, sir. God bless every member of your household.
Amen.
And thank you very much once again. I don't know, a final word from you, and then we'll hand over to the media team as we close tonight.
Let's just continue to dig in the word. It's the word of God that brings that light. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everybody. And on that note, we'll hand over to this wonderful young people in the house, Apostle Andrew. And what title do I give you, Shindara? Evangelist Shindara. Thank you very much. And Damola and I will be signing off now and hand you over to Andrew and Shindara. God bless you and good night.
Good night.